Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.
We're coming to you live from the Rocket Mortgage Studios. When you need cash out of your home and a simple way to get it, Rocket can. Welcome back to the Maggie and Perloff Show. I am so sorry that we cut short the Jacksonville Jaguars culture talk the end of the last segment, Maggie. Actually, I think that's for the best because that never builds good momentum into our next topic. Like, I feel like let's just wait and watch the Jags in the fall. I don't need to hear about their culture right now.
Okay, so do you want to start the countdown now? We'll tell people a little about
what
we're doing.
Let's do it.
And then we'll get to the college football story that is shaking up the nation. We'll get to that in just a minute. Okay, so going to try a little something here where we're going to do a countdown. And the countdown is going to be Maggie's most intriguing. Now, Maggie's most intriguing what, you may ask? Well, let's hear it.
Maggie's most intriguing.
NFL teams. So I'm going to start it with the most intriguing to the least intriguing, pardon me, to the most intriguing. This is going to be a 32-show countdown that's going to get us all the way from 32 to 1, okay?
Is so 1 going to be set? Like opening week of NFL season? Is that, do we have it timed out that way?
No, unfortunately not.
Opening of training camp?
If my calculations are correct, it's going to be somewhere on the 4th of July, give or take a couple different shows.
Rookie camp in Baltimore or something. Give me something here. Make up a date,
something.
Maggie.
Yeah, it's going to be the voluntary second OTAs. No, it's going to coincide very nicely with the NFL calendar. So most intriguing NFL teams, we're counting them down 32 to 1. And so I'll start today with 32. So this is the least intriguing team, in my opinion, in the entire NFL. And I would say congratulations, but obviously this is not where you want to be. The least intriguing team in the NFL, by my account, is the Houston Texans. It is really hard to find some juice here around the Texans. First of all, made a total mockery with the David Culley situation last year. They offered him a job because they knew no one else would take it in the wake of the Deshaun Watson fiasco. So now they've hired Lovie Smith, who, no disrespect to Lovie, he's a good coach, but not only is he a retread, he's on the defensive side of the ball. So that's like a double whammy of boring. You know, no intrigue there. You've got Davis Mills, who's been basically an afterthought of this quarterback class, third-round pick. We don't even really talk about him with the other guys going into their second year, like Trevor Lawrence and Zach Wilson and Trey Lance and Justin Fields. You've got one of your best offensive weapons, Brandon Cooks, who might be rivaling Ryan Fitzpatrick for most teams ever played on in the NFL. Effective when he's healthy, but a journeyman who's turned out to be a journeyman wide receiver. Of course, they took John Mechie in the second round from Alabama, but he's recovering from an ACL injury that he suffered in the SEC championship game in December. You know, it was exciting on the defensive side. They took Derek Stingley Jr. This could be a lockdown quarter, but Perloff, he played 10 games in the last 2 years. And honestly, if I didn't just name check all those people, I guarantee anyone outside of Houston could not name 5 players on the Texans. Not to mention, they play in the AFC South. Not a lot of juice in that division. I'm sorry, the Houston Texans are the 32nd ranked most intriguing team in the NFL going into this season.
Very, very good argument. Yeah, I mean, first of all, I feel like, though, that should you get some extra points for being in the AFC South? Like, you have so much to overcome. Just you have two decades of absolute boringness. So I feel like that's kind of not fair to them. But, yeah, what do you... Okay, let me ask a couple counterarguments. What do you, like, this Davis Mills hype that is kind of you're hearing? Like, number one
from
recruit...
From who? Samter? He's the only guy who's got Davis Mills hype.
A lot of people come around on Davis Mills and be like, he was, like, the top recruit in the country. Went to Stanford, was really good, just never healthy. But now he's healthy... Maybe he's like a diamond in the rough. And he had better numbers than all the other rookie quarterbacks, which is something, except Mac Jones.
Right. Oh, I forgot about Mac Jones, too.
Yeah. I mean, you got to admit you're
wrong.
A little curious. Just a little curious about Davis Mills.
I'm not. I'm not curious about Davis Mills until, like, there's a reason to be curious. You mentioned he had good numbers. He passed for 2,600 yards. Like, let's not pretend like he was... lighting the hair on fire here of the NFL.
Right, in limited games. Like, he was out. Remember, he got hurt. Yeah, the other thing, Derek Stingley Jr., he's a monster if he's healthy. He's amazing. Just based on...
Okay, great. If he's healthy, but he's played 10 games in 2 years. I can't get... Like, that's not a ton of juice right there.
Yeah. I mean, it's interesting, though. Like, I understand why they took him at three. If you could get a shutdown corner, which I feel like he... The other guy was Sauce Gardner. I mean, Derek Stingley comes out of LSU, and Sauce Gardner, no offense, comes out of Cincinnati. This feels like a star. People love, too. I've seen a guy they drafted, Christian Harris, the Alabama linebacker. A lot of people have on Rookie of the Year list, too. So, you know, I agree with you that obviously they're not. I don't think you're reinventing the wheel here because they haven't been very good. But, you know, Lovie Smith, he gets that little Chicago Bears defense going. I'm not going to say that they're, you know, top 27 most exciting teams, but I think that they could move up a little bit. Maybe the Davis Mills factor, maybe not top 29 most intriguing teams, but so, I think you could a little juice there.
What a compelling case you just made. not 29 most compelling. Listen, this is where I stand. It's Maggie's most intriguing list. Houston Texans coming in at 32nd. So tomorrow we'll do our 31st most intriguing NFL team. But you can tell me whether or not you agree at 855-212-4CBS, 855-212-4227. And so that's going to be our fun countdown. Okay, this story coming out of college football was just really caught our eye. So Alabama signed a new recruit yesterday, and his name is Eli Holstein. He's from Zachary High, which is in Louisiana. He's a four-star recruit, and as I was reading a lot about what this means, it was pretty fascinating. Like, many people believe that by Alabama signing Eli Holstein, this sends a clear advantage now to Texas in landing Arch Manning, because Alabama is showing, and I know Texas has Ewers, and he's also a highly ranked recruit, but this shows that Alabama is not waiting around here for Arch Manning's decision. They're continuing to go after these high-ranked quarterbacks. And the fact is, this could open the door, not just slightly, Perloff, but quite a bit for Steve Sarkisian to come in and make a very compelling case to Arch Manning. What do you make of this story?
Yeah, well, I think Sark had a great angle on Arch Manning anyway. I mean, Sark's offenses are crazy. I mean, the schemes that he had in Alabama, there's never been more wide open receivers in the history of college football. And he's, you know, Texas is a very compelling place. So it's not like they were not in it before. Now, so Ewers, who's also the number one recruit, sort of a once in a generation recruit, he'll be old enough so he doesn't interfere with Arch Manning. The only thing about Holstein, like you said, a four-star recruit, is that going to be enough? You know, like, Alabama probably has three or four four-star recruit quarterbacks. And the thing, like, he's not top five quarterback in his class. If you look at, like,
can I add this? According to Ari Wasserman, who covers college football for The Athletic, some would argue, and this is the quote, some would argue that his meaning Holstein's, high school tape is more impressive than Manning's. What do you make of that?
I have trouble buying that, but... Listen, I'm just going to go on the rankings. He's eighth, and, like, there's several guys ahead of him who are the third guys on there. Like, Alabama has higher recruits already in there. I know they have Jalen Monroe next year. Then they have this kid, Ty Simpson. They have a bunch of four-star, five-star guys. Remember when Trevor Lawrence went to Clemson? They had four five-star recruits, I think, at quarterback in the position. Like, Alabama can collect as many quarterbacks as they want. So I don't think that it's a done deal just because this guy goes to Alabama that they're out of Arch Manning. You know what I mean?
Don't you feel like, yeah, but do we not believe that Arch Manning is going to be starting as a freshman?
Well,
I think don't you have to almost guarantee that to the Mannings that he's going to start and not have to go through a quarterback competition?
Well, I don't know. You look at the number, like the biggest recruits of the last decade, they didn't all start as freshmen. I mean, Justin Fields.
Yeah, but they weren't Peyton Manning's nephew.
Yeah, I mean, but Justin Fields was the biggest star as we've seen in high school football, and he didn't start. He sat at Georgia. Quinn Ewers was probably the biggest star in 10 years, and he didn't get on the field in Ohio State. So, yeah, I don't think it's a guarantee that Arch Manning starts, because look at the three programs he's looking at. They all have, like, massive talent in that quarterback room. True freshmen don't usually start, even the top ones. So, I don't think it's a guarantee at all.
If you were Texas, and what Arch Manning would mean to your program if you landed him, right?
Right.
If I'm right about this, they have not had any quarterbacks taken or any offensive players drafted in the first round out of Texas since Vince Young in 2006. I mean, this is so much bigger than than just recruiting like some good quarterback.
Right, but that doesn't just be, so why would they have to guarantee him starting as a true freshman? I don't think the Mannings
to get him to come there. To come there, if that's important to him, that would be to sweeten the pot that he is going to be the starter, and then you think that this signing could change the trajectory of your program.
Yeah, but I don't know that that's part of the Manning calculus. Have you heard them say that he has to start as a true freshman? Because that's not the norm these days.
No, but I'm not sure what they're asking for in this recruiting, right? I don't think their first questions are about NIL, because I don't think that they're worried about that kind of thing. So what are they concerned about, right? Like, what is the biggest thing for them? Is it the fact that Arch starts right away? Is it his development to get to the NFL? Is it, there's got to be a lot of different things. Maybe his growth as a person, you hope that's sprinkled in there a little bit too, can become like a quote unquote regular college kid as much as that's possible. I mean, there's got to be a lot of things, but if you want to sweeten the pot for Arch, if you're Texas, you tell him he's going to start right away.
Well, but then they have a big Quinn Ewers problem.
Ask yourself, who's doing more to change the reputation of Texas? Arch Manning signing or Quinn Ewers?
So what do you do with Quinn Ewers? You can't cut him. He's going to be the starting quarterback this year.
This year, but I'm talking about next year when Arch gets there.
Right. It's going to be Quinn Ewers, right? I mean, I think Arch is going to sit on the programs he's looking at, Alabama, Texas, and Georgia. Like, he's probably not going to start as a true freshman. And I don't think there's any shame in that, but he's definitely not going to. Texas seems even harder. Like, you can't have two number one overall recruits sit, the younger one's going to sit on the bench, right? And maybe I'm missing something here, but it seems like for sure that he's going to run into some other quarterbacks.
Well, he'll run into other quarterbacks, but I'm just telling you, like, for Georgia, who just won the national championship, for Alabama, that's a juggernaut, the biggest one of the sport, the machine. Like, which one of these is not like the other? And it's Texas. Texas is not in the same conversation right now with Alabama and Georgia in terms of success.
Right. But they have a big a logjam as quarterback as Alabama does. They have another quarterback too. They have another five-star, and I'm looking at their depth chart. So I'm not sure that Arch gets a guarantee.
This is where you and I disagree, right? This is where I think that Arch signing with Texas would be such a momentum shift and such a boon for that program and Sarkisian that the competition would not be real. It would go away. Like, I think that Arch would mean that much to that program that they no longer care who's in front of them on the depth chart. They no longer care who the competition is, that they're going to stack the deck for him. We see this happen in college and the pros all the time. Politics plays into this, not politics, Republican and Democrat, like internal politics plays into these decisions going down to the high school level sometimes. It's awful, but it's true. And I think that Texas needs this so badly, they would stack the deck for Arch. That's where you and I disagree.
You don't think
they would. You think they'd make it a true competition.
No. I just think Ewers is so special and so unique and so once in a lifetime. It's not like any quarterback. Remember, Quinn Ewers was playing high school football in Texas and left because he was offered a $1 million NIL deal because he's the biggest recruit since Andrew Luck in the entire country. Now, Arch Manning, like, he's not just some run-of-the-mill guy. He's, like, one of the most famous high school quarterbacks to come along. I know he looks like Joe Dirt. So it just feels weird to me that Ewers would just get kicked to the side. I feel like Arch would sit a season, be a redshirt a season, then Ewers. I feel like, I mean, if Justin Fields and all these guys, even Trevor Lawrence, I don't think he started day one. Like, it's...
He did. He did.
Did he beat out Kelly Bryant for day one? Yeah. Was it week one? Anyway, like...
I don't know if it was week one, but I know it was that first season for sure.
Yeah. But I'm saying even the top guys often don't start week one. It's not... I don't think it's like even with this Alabama situation, I'm not like sure. I don't know what Arch is thinking, but I don't know that Arch has to start week one to go to these programs. Just because it's Alabama too. Like Alabama, as you said, with this Eli Holsey guy, like... whoever Alabama gets, it's going to be a problem because he's probably going to have a Heisman Trophy winner in front of him in the depth chart.
Okay, so let's just play this thought exercise. You're Sarkisian, and say the Mannings do say to you, he's got to start.
Yeah.
And you know, and so now you're weighing, you've got this great quarterback in Ewers, but you're here with the Mannings with a recruitment that's kind of unlike any other that we've seen in a while. And just in terms of the pure, I mean, the kid's last name, the first family of football. I mean, it's just different. No offense to Quinn Ewers. I'm sure he's super popular in his own niche, but Arch Manning is popular. Like every sports fan knows who he is. It's just different. So if you're Sarkisian and just as a thought exercise, we're not saying this is what's happening, but say that's the deal. Would you make it and do that for Manning?
This is what you do. You promise yes. You're a college football coach. You lie for a living. That's all you do. Lying is like breathing. Just say, yeah, definitely. You're starting week one, Arch. Come on aboard.
You don't mean it? Hook 'em.
Well, yeah. I mean, like, yeah. Have you ever listened to a recruiting pitch? Yeah, of course you're going to say. You know, the other thing, too, is I think Ewers is closer to the Manning family as well. So that adds another layer to this.
Aren't they all?
Yeah. That's the other thing. The Mannings they have their hands in this thing. This goes so many layers deeper than we even know. Who the heck knows what's going on?
That's why it's so intriguing. That's why the Mannings do that Manning camp, because they get to know all the quarterbacks in the country, and then they can sort of get a sense about where everyone's thinking and where their head's at. Heady play, like really smart. They got more intel than anyone else on these quarterbacks. 855-212-4CBS, 855-212-4227. Really intriguing question. You want to weigh in on that Arch Manning debate. Do you think he'd go to Texas now if they guaranteed him a starting spot? Coming up, of course, your phone calls. You can find us on Twitter as well at Maggie and Pearl, at facebook.com/Maggie and Perloff. Is the Lakers head coaching search just beginning? Oh, boy. Buckle up. We've got news on that front. Maggie and Perloff hanging with you on CBS Sports Radio, CBS Sports Network, and Sirius XM Channel 158.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.
Back on Maggie and Perloff. Interesting day in the NFL, especially for the Las Vegas Raiders. We learned today that the NFL case involving John Gruden will move forward despite the NFL trying to get it kicked out of court, which means we're going to see some incredibly interesting discovery in the next couple months as emails leak. But probably even bigger, we just learned from multiple sources, Colin Kaepernick will work out for the Las Vegas Raiders. Mark, Kaepernick's first workout in an NFL team since being exiled. It'll be the first time the former star quarterback meets with a team. He flew to Seattle and met with the Seahawks in May 2017, and did not get signed. This is obviously big news. I don't know, Maggie, do you think that this is going to lead anywhere? Knowing the Raiders and sort of their history and the way that they don't necessarily think like the other teams, do you think this will be a real tryout, or is this sort of window dressing?
No, I mean, I think it's a. I think it would be a real tryout because I'm looking at the quarterback depth chart for the Raiders, and this is a team that is going for it this year, no yep. doubt. They have to have it, you know, deep playoff run, hoping probably Super Bowl aspirations. And you know, your backup quarterback right now is Jarrett Stidham. So if Derek Carr were to get hurt, I mean, that could mean curtains for the season. And maybe they feel like they want to give Colin a shot to be a competent backup in case something would happen to Carr. I hope this won't just be window dressing. I mean, it's something that a lot of people, I know we're very divided on the Kaepernick thing, but a lot of people have been clamoring for this for a long time because no matter where you stand, it does, or stand, no pun intended, on his position. I mean, he obviously could play in this league. You know, one, he last played in 2016. I don't think anyone thought that, yes, he may have been regressing a bit as a quarterback, but no one thought he fell off a cliff so badly yeah. that he just could not exist in the NFL anymore. Even your most staunch anti-Kaepernick folks would have to agree that football-wise, he belonged in the league in 2016, after 2016, and I'm curious to see what he looks like now.
Yeah, I remember he came off shoulder surgery, too, and he probably would have healed yeah. even more off of that. So I think there is a legitimate question. It's been a long time since he's played. You know, how much rust is there? We actually have a sound. I want to hear Raiders owner Mark Davis commented on why this workout is happening.
Listen, I believe in Colin Kaepernick, and he deserves every chance in the world to become a quarterback in the National Football League. I still stand by it. If our coaches and general managers want to bring him in or want him to be the quarterback on this team, I would welcome him with open arms.
I'm sorry, that was last month that Mark Davis said this. So give credit to Mark Davis. Like, they followed up and they were actually doing this. Maggie, it's funny. I'm looking at in the ESPN story, some of the things that the Raiders have done over the years. They were the first team to hire a black head coach in Art Shell, a female chief executive yep. officer in our friend Amy Trask, a second NFL owner to hire a Latino head coach in Tom Flores. They're such an interesting team because Al Davis for so many years was suing the NFL. It's just they've been good. They've been up. They've been down. They just always sort of go to their own beat. So I honestly think like there's a chance that this could happen.
Well, and can I couple that also with like who's now in charge of the team on the football side is all former Patriots guys.
Yeah.
Who also have like a kind of who gives a bleep, you know, we're going to do whatever is best for our team. We don't yeah. care about the outside noise and distractions. I mean, on the like, you know, listen, this is a team that famously brought Tim Tebow to camp. You want to talk about someone who creates headlines wherever he goes and someone who, you know, has lots of interest around his life. Tim Tebow, they brought him into camp and then they didn't take him, you know, he didn't make the team. They're not afraid to bring anyone in and, you know, let the coverage of it or let the conversation around it be what it is. And I think that probably adds to this as well, right?
Yeah, and also, too, it's such a mix of different kind of characters. You had the tragedies of last year, John Gruden and those terrible emails. You had Henry Ruggs, former first-round pick, who was involved in a fatal car accident. Then you have, like, pretty much the most likable guys in the NFL, Max Crosby, an incredible story about recovery, who became this all-pro defensive end. Same with Darren Waller, the tight end. Everyone loves Hunter Renfrow, who emerged as an underrated star. Josh Jacobs, another incredible story. So yep. It's, you know, there's
and now
no,
they have Devontae Adams leaves Aaron Rodgers to go play with his college quarterback.
Yes.
I mean, that's kind of a feel-good story in its own right.
Yeah, so it's an incredible, like, combination of stories through the years. But if you do bring Kaepernick, one thing I will say is he will overwhelm all those stories, at least initial coverage.
Yeah, you know what, though? I'm curious about that because that's what we've been told, right, for so long, that Kaepernick would be this distraction. And that was one of the reasons I think owners kind of hid behind not wanting to bring him into camp, and also because he was unpopular with some football fans because of the kneeling. But I'd love to see that now these years later. You know, it's not the same. I mean, we still have the same issues in this country. Don't get me wrong about that and what Kaepernick was talking about and police brutality and other things, but that hasn't gone away. But the idea that, you know, his views would be still so polarizing, or that people still don't understand kind of what he's doing, or still have this very visceral reaction to him. You know how time has a way of sort of, you know, mending things a little bit. I don't know if everyone has the same, that the staunch anti-Kaepernick people, do they still have that same level of distaste for him? I don't know.
I think they do. I'm pretty sure. I think a lot of them do. The staunch anti-Kaepernick people. I also think his star power is enormous. You see him in these Nike ads. He's incredibly visible, and he's definitely easy to recognize. So I think he's...
Well, that's the point, right? Yeah. He's trying to get his message out there, so he's trying to be visible.
Yeah, I think... Well, think about it. When he first comes to camp, though, you know how, like, when Tebow first got to any of these camps, like, it was a big deal. It would definitely be the number one story in Raiders camp if Colin Kaepernick was there.
No doubt. Yeah. I mean, but you said there's a lot of other stories that are around, you know, so it's not just the one thing going on. Patriots people have been good about sort of cordoning off this type of hysteria before, if that's what it even comes to. And the other thing I would say, too, about Kaepernick himself, right, is like he's actually very comfortable talking to the media and kind of like putting his points out there and vocalizing what exactly he's talking about. When he speaks, I find he's very clear in what he's trying to say. It's not a lot of innuendo. You know, he's pretty direct about it. And so he seems pretty comfortable, you know, speaking for himself on these things. And so with that, I think he'll be able to clearly articulate kind of what his messages are. That I think that's got to help. A clear message, you know, some people might not like it, but it's obvious what he's trying to get across.
By the way, we got a call in from Robert in Maryland who has a good question. Actually, I'm wondering, and I think you might be wondering too, to our last topic about Arch Manning.
Yeah.
Why would Arch Manning choose Texas? I think it's something you and I have been trying to wrap our heads around. Robert in Maryland has a theory. Robert, what do you have?
There's no way he would choose Texas. Why would you want to do that when you can go to Alabama and play for Nick Saban or Georgia or Clemson? There's just no way he would do that. But Sydney, you guys talking about Colin Kaepernick. Colin Kaepernick is unbelievable to sit back and complain about everything in this country, but yet he never brings up the point of how many African Americans are killed in Chicago on a weekly basis.
Okay, Robert, wait a minute. We can't just let you have the floor there because a lot of that stuff is not true. I mean, he does talk about all different variety of things, and he's very clear in what he's supporting and the messages that he's putting out there.
Yeah, so. By the way, I'm sorry. I thought we were going to talk because I do want to hear somebody explain to me
why Arch Manning would go to
Texas because Texas hasn't won a title since Vince Young. So sorry, probably shouldn't have snuck that call in. I probably should have known better, Maggie. Although, like, that is one of the, you know, we have our big board of show disagreements. Our one big board of sort of show mysteries is like, I don't think either of us have figured out just exactly how is Texas going to recruit Arch Manning?
Well, they've done a good job to this point, right? He's one of the three finalists or three official visits he's going to take. I don't know if that's a finalist, but three official visits that he's going to take. So clearly they're saying something or doing something right.
Yeah, I mean, they make a compelling case. And also Sark has been getting a lot of big recruits as Texas A&M has. But still, it's kind of hard. You know, we talked about Alabama all week, like, I'm sorry, I don't care how much NIL money. If Alabama calls me, I kind of want to go there to win a national title. I think that's what that caller was saying. Like, Alabama seems hard to beat on the recruiting trail right now.
Well, and don't forget, Arch had said about Athens, Georgia, he felt like that was the best college town he'd ever been in or something like that. He had talked really, like he had fawned over Athens. So there's a lot of different ways this could go. Here's a question for you. If we could make a bet on this right now, would you take it? Do you think Arch Manning only plays for one school? Because the transfer portal now, see, I think that he's going to be like given the golden ticket here. Like you are this amazing recruit with your uncles are who they are, your father's who he is, your grandfather. Like you're going to get what you want. If you want to start right away, we're going to start you right away. I think they're going to make a lot of concessions to get Arch because of his star power and his ability too. But with the transfer portal now, you can move and go somewhere else and not have to sit out. Transferring is so much easier. Do you think that Arch is only going to attend one school?
You know, I'm going to say no. Because you look at the, who are like the real like predecessors, like the number one recruits. It's like Kyler Murray is as famous as any football player has ever been in high school. And he played in two schools. Same with Justin Fields. Justin Fields, well, Baker was not a huge recruit, so it's a little different, but I feel like, you know, Justin Fields was a superstar. Like, there were so many videos out about him, and he played at two schools, but especially Kyler. Kyler's arguably the greatest high school football player of all time. It's just very common. And we were talking about Quinn Ewers, like this all-time recruit, like better than Andrew Luck, better than Trevor Lawrence. He's on his second school already. So, I think there's a good chance that it's no guarantee. And by the way, we're talking about like Arch Manning, like it's a guarantee that he's going to be great when it doesn't quite work that way in football. It's not like Zion Williamson at Duke. I just think it's a little harder to translate.
Well, right, but every college coach is going to make that bet. You know, I don't know how it's going to go, but like, there's no doubt that like, if you're asking who has the leverage in these recruiting trips, it's Arch.
Yeah,
right?
But I mean, but is that any different than like any other number one recruit? I mean, like, you don't think every college program on earth bend over backwards to Travis Hunter? I mean, I think this is the name of the game. He's just a little better than everyone else with that last name. But I do think that they, I mean, come on. These guys, I'm telling you, Maggie, they tell these recruits anything they want to hear. That's the name of this game. It's been going on for decades.
I know. What is this, like dating? I think that a little bit. I think that you're also like, there is an Arch star power that just by virtue of landing the last name, and by, it's like you've landed the Manning family. It's like you get the seal of approval from not just Arch, whether this is fair or not. You get the seal of approval of Peyton and Eli and Archie, and you know, you get everybody, you feel like, kind of signs off on this. That might not be fair, and you know, hopefully Arch himself is actually making this decision, but you know what I mean, this is like the whole family signs off on, all right, we're cool with you going to Texas. Like, that's massive for the Longhorns. Huge.
Yeah, but it's not as big as winning a title. I mean, like, it'll be a big deal, and it, yeah, you're right, put them on a map in a new way, but still, like, it's no guarantee of anything, right? Like you just said, a lot of guys transfer.
It would be very much of this generation of this era if he did transfer and go to a different school, right? Like, nothing's set in stone anymore. And that would obviously be a massive story, too. Imagine the headlines, Arch Manning enters the transfer portal. That would be big. Very, very big.
Absolutely.
Maggie and Perloff hanging out with you, 855-212-4CBS, 855-212-4227. Okay, coming up, we will get to this Lakers head coaching job because it looks like the search is still on. We've got that and so much more. Don't move. Maggie and Perloff.
Back on Maggie and Perloff. Big news coming out of the NFL. The Las Vegas Raiders will work out Colin Kaepernick. I mean, Maggie, as you know, Colin Kaepernick always evokes strong emotions from football fans, non-football fans, everybody. Yep. We've got a few calls in here. I'm curious what people think. Let's go to Albert in San Diego. Albert, what do you think of the Kaepernick workout?
You know, I'm in total agreement with it, and I actually would love to hear your, you know, you and Maggie's opinion. What would have happened if the year that Kaepernick played in the Super Bowl, he would have won the Super Bowl? I mean, you know, then he would have been a Super Bowl winning quarterback. You know, to me, so if he would have won, I think it would have changed the perspective on maybe, you know, cutting him or anything like that. Not to mention that after it was all said and done, everybody was kneeling or holding hands, you know, that type of thing. So, I mean, I think it would have changed the perspective if he would have won the Super Bowl. What do you think?
You know, it's an interesting thought exercise because, Albert, what do we do to guys and quarterbacks, especially who win the Super Bowl, right? Like, we make them into heroes, right? Like, it puts you in this totally different category. Even the Trent Dilfers, you know, who we know is more the defense than the quarterback, but you still will always forever be, you know, Super Bowl winning quarterback.
You know what?
His trajectory with the 49ers, probably, right?
Well, think about the other side of the ball, the Ravens. Flacco didn't buy that much time. I mean, I know he stuck around for a while, but I think in Nick Foles with the Eagles, like, he was gone almost immediately. I'm thinking of the Ravens when they won the Super Bowl. They went the next season to Elvis Gerbach. Like,
that's true.
There is a history of, you know, it doesn't buy you that much time anymore because it's such a churn league.
But Flacco got a huge deal, remember?
He got a huge deal, yeah.
Even Lamar's rookie year, they stuck with Flacco. And it's like,
for a little while.
I thought that he got a lot of grace there, and everyone was praising him because he like bet on himself. You know, we love that in sports. And
I mean, the plan was to go with different. The plan was to go with Kaepernick. Like, there was never a thought after that Super Bowl as he's not going to be our long term quarterback.
Right.
But he got hurt. I mean, he got hurt, and then
he got expensive.
He got it's not that. Then he kneeled, and it became a much bigger story. But let's see. So that was he basically stayed with the team for five more years. Not unusual in the Super Bowl era. So I think it's a really interesting question, but I don't think winning a Super Bowl is enough of a game changer to buy you as much time as it used to. I think back in the day, in the 80s, are you kidding me? You were set for a decade, but I don't think the NFL works like that anymore.
Eli Manning? Can I present Exhibit A, Eli Manning? Got to stay forever. He got to stay three years longer than he probably should have because of the Super Bowls, and it was two Super Bowls,
I know
that.
It was two Super Bowls to buy you a decade. All right, let's go to Mike.
Well, how about this? Jim Harbaugh, run the ball. Why, was it three straight pass plays to Michael Crabtree? Come on. Get a little more creative in the red zone.
All right, let's go to Mike in California. Mike, what do you think is happening in Las Vegas with Colin Kaepernick?
Well, I don't know what to think. I mean, as a diehard Saints fan living in California, I've always hated the 49ers. So I have a certain amount of disdain for them as a whole. But I can remember his last few years, Colin Kaepernick didn't seem like the same guy he was those first 2 years when he came out of nowhere and lit everything up and looked amazing. My bigger concern or my bigger question I had for you guys, though, is what's going to happen if he goes to Las Vegas with the front office staff that they've got, the coach that they've got, and this whole everything you guys laid out a few moments ago about the fact that they're a team that's willing to buck, you know, what everybody else says that they think it's going to make their team better, and he doesn't make the cut. Is it going to be like Tim Tebow where everybody finally says, okay, his prime is gone, it's over, or is it going to continue to be something that gets brought back up over and over and over again?
Man, good question. I think that, gut reaction to that question would be if he doesn't make the 49ers, or excuse me, if he doesn't make the Raiders, I think it might be over. But I think he has a good shot. Again, like, what's the bar he has to clear here? Jarrett Stidham as the backup? That's not exactly like, you know, you might, that's not exactly, no offense to him, like the best of the best backup quarterback situations.
No. But I'm not sure it's a straight out like apples and oranges question. Like, does Colin Kaepernick, here's a good interesting question. Does Colin Kaepernick have to be like way better than Jarrett Stidham to bring on everything that goes with him? I mean, that might not be a fair question, but you know how NFL works. So, you know, there's probably going to be a big involvement. I don't think just outplaying Jarrett Stidham alone would guarantee a spot for Colin Kaepernick.
Interesting. I think it might. You know, like, think about it. Like, real-time, real scenario. Derek Carr gets hurt. Do you really believe that Jarrett Stidham could take you on a playoff run? Do you think Nick Mullins could take you on a playoff run? No. I mean, I'd rather see maybe Kaepernick. He's got experience. And you mentioned it even at the end of his career in San Francisco. He was coming off of an injury. I'd want to know what's left there. I don't think that they're doing this as some kind of, like, you know, charity thing for Colin Kaepernick. Mm. I think they're really trying to turn over every stone to try to make their team better.
Huh. You think that's it?
I do. Yeah. I mean, honestly, like, I know Mark Davis made those comments before, but I don't see this as just like some kind of handout.
No, I don't think it's a handout, but I don't think it's so simple as a football decision. Maybe I'm wrong, but like, I just think it's impossible in the year 2022 to bring in Colin Kaepernick and say, well, we're not thinking about other things, whether you want to or not. I mean, I'm just being realistic here. I think there's a whole big picture that comes with Colin Kaepernick. It's not fair. I think.
But you know what? Sorry, Perloff, not to cut you off, but one last thing that our last caller just said, right? Like, think about what happened after, you know, the SOB's comment. Like, if you are a football fan now and you're going to be against every player who's ever taken a knee, well, then you're against basically the whole NFL. Because in the wake of that, everyone was kneeling. And so everyone was showing and I guess you want to say protesting in that way or what have you. Like, there, you wouldn't have a team left to root for because the players banded together in that time and showed solidarity to each other there. So,
right,
I don't know. The same political calculus.
I forget the political calculus. There's only one person that we're talking about that's a global icon right now. Like, basically, he's a global icon. You can't, I don't think you can ignore the fact that he is a world, he's going to be in history books. So I don't think it's impossible to ignore that in the locker room. I don't think it just feels weird to me, and maybe this is unfair of me just to say, "Oh, this is a straight football competition," because it's Colin Kaepernick. Like, kids know his name, who have no idea about football. It's just not your average guy in a camp battle. I don't think.
What's interesting about that, and no, you're right about that. I'm not trying to be naive, although I do think there's a football side of this, but I'm not trying to be naive. I think what's interesting about that is, look at what the Raiders are basically saying then, if you believe that that's part of the motivation, is that they believe this will bring more fans than turn off more fans. And that is, you know, in the wake of Kaepernick first kneeling, you know, that was a real, felt a lot more, I don't want to say 50-50, but the people who are anti-Kaepernick were extremely vocal about that. And now the Raiders, if they are going to bring him in, are making a bet that there is not a big enough amount of fans who will be turned off by Kaepernick to affect their bottom line at all, if you want to take that view.
Well, I don't know for sure.
That the sea change has happened with Kaepernick and more people support him than don't.
I think that's an assumption. I think that's an assumption that we know what's in the brain of the Raiders. They might say, hey, maybe this is a hit popularity-wise, but we think it's the right thing to do. How do we know that's not their mindset? I mean, because
I generally think that's maybe my cynicism, that I feel like generally businesses end up doing what's best for their bottom line first. And then if it also conveniently aligns with some of their other, you know, stances, then they'll take it. But I've seen too much, especially from sports owners, to not be cynical like that.
Yeah, I don't know. I think the Raiders might have a different agenda here. I don't think that they polled their audience and said, well, you know what, if we bring Kaepernick, we'll get a broader base here. I think there's probably a lot more going on here. I think Mark Davis probably thinks it's the right thing to do. Mark Davis, of course, good friends with Mike Samter. They've hung out late nights in casinos.
Yeah, the Vegas scene. Yeah.
I mean, the truth is, we don't know, but I do think, like we keep talking about, there's a calculus here. There's a lot of factors. I don't think it's like we're going to be more popular or less popular. I think a lot of this factors in. I think, is he going to help our football team? Is it the right thing to do? Is this something we're all comfortable with? Do we have the right locker room, the right coach? And as you mentioned, I love your point about the Patriots front office. They have a different way of thinking about football to start with.
I think the Patriots never seem to ever be concerned about the outside noise, ever.
Yeah.
From things that are incredibly serious to the things that were trivial, they never cared about outside noise. And I think you can tell that this front office, which is Dave Ziegler, right, who was formerly of the Patriots, and obviously Josh McDaniels, I think they're carrying that over with them simply by obviously, like, you know, they are willing to, you know, deal with whatever the reaction is, positive or negative, towards bringing Kaepernick in. And maybe they're not so concerned about it. Or maybe, like you said, maybe this is just coming from all the way from the top with Mark Davis, and it's something he wants to do, and nobody's going to sway him otherwise because he's the owner and he ultimately has the final say.
Yeah. This could be something to follow, Maggie. I can't wait to hear.
When is the workout? Is it today or tomorrow?
Oh, is it that soon?
Yeah, it's either today or tomorrow. I'm seeing conflicting, but some are saying that it's today.
Oh, wow. Okay. Yeah. And like the other question is, like, how serious of a workout is it? Is it just like, hey, come work out, we'll check you out? Or is it like, hey, you're trying out?
Oh, as we just mentioned, it'd be a lot to bring them in just for like a, hey, come hang with us for the day. I hope they're giving them a real honest to goodness tryout, because the guy deserves it. Coming up next, one of the most heartwarming stories we've ever heard. The hair on the back of your neck is going to stand up, guaranteed. Hang on, Maggie and Perloff, right after this.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.